Blog Talk Radio.
Gentlemen, and welcome to the Transformation Zone. It's 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm your host, Velton Schau, and we are so excited to have you here once again on this Thursday evening. You know, I always open the show by saying thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to spend the next 30 minutes with us. And I am going to say this to you, and you'll understand what I mean towards the end of the show. You are in for a treat tonight. You are in for an incredible journey, because I'm going to be honest with you. I met our next guest many years ago when I was very, very early in my career in the hospitality industry, and I was introduced to this lady at a hotel that we had just opened. And she was one of the, I want to say, most influential meeting planners in the Washington, D.C. area at that time. And she has continued over the years to share her knowledge and expertise with her counterparts and cohorts throughout the industry. She is a magnet of information about meeting planning and the hospitality industry. She started her company back in, I hope she doesn't get upset for me saying this, but back in 1981.
I know how old I am. It's okay.
And she has continued, after being a meeting planner for an association, she broke off and started her company, Eisenstadt Associates, and became a meeting planner and consultant, as well as a board member for such prestigious organizations as the American Society of Association Executives and Professional Conference Managers Association, which we affectionately know as ASAE and PCMA. And I've kind of spilled the beans because I said her the name of her company, but I'm so excited because I have the opportunity to have on my show the infamous, and I'm going to make her blush, Joan Eisenstadt.
You already
Joan,
have
how
made
are
me
you?
Blush. Thank you for all that. That was very nice. Thanks. It's nice to be doing this with you tonight.
Well, you know, it's amazing because, you know, I talk about my life and my career a lot as I share with the people that tune in with me every week and the people that I speak in front of professionally. But, you know, it's just an honor when I have people who have had an imprint and an impact on me early in my career to really reacquaint with, because you and I haven't spoken until a couple of weeks ago, probably in about 10 years.
Probably. And one of the nicest things about social media is that we're able, I think a lot of us, to reconnect and to connect with people that we've known for a long time in the industry and outside the industry. So it's I view social media as one large meeting with teeny components, I think.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's funny because I was saying when I opened the show, I met Joan Eisenstadt when we opened the Grand Hyatt Washington in 1987. I was a young whippersnapper of a salesperson. And our director of sales and marketing, God rest his soul, Rick Masucci, introduced me to Joan. And she has always, I mean, you were one of those people where you know what you do and you love what you do, but you're so willing to share your knowledge and information with other people. I mean, ASAE, I mean, as a board member there. But let's go back a little bit. Now, before I go there, just so you know, I sent out the marketing for this show, and I'm going to – people like Nancy Miller. You remember Nancy?
Yes, I do.
Nancy sent me a note, said, oh, my God, I love Joan. I'm so
okay.
happy that
Thank
she's
you.
On your show.
Thank
and
you.
Nancy is one of the team members from the Grand Hyatt Washington.
Yeah.
Lisa Alio.
These are there are all the names. That it's so funny because when the hotel opened, Rick Masucci, who was just such a dear friend and wonderful professional, called on me to help a few of the newer salespeople learn sort of the ropes. And so we had some interesting negotiations. And to me, when you're negotiating, that really is all part of learning. It's I think that that our obligation as professionals is to it's not bully each other, but to come up with ways to make things happen. And that, to me, is all part of what we do.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of people plan events. I mean, some meeting planners start out by planning class reunions and family reunions and weddings and things of that nature, and they grow into the craft, but a lot of them grow into it with this misunderstanding of what the business is all about. Can you talk a little bit about, because I know that you encounter that a lot as you educate meeting planners.
Well, it's interesting, and it's real. Having this past weekend taught at the University of North Carolina Charlotte in their meeting certificate program, which I've done for the last 9 years, twice a year, and working with people who are both what I call professional meeting planners, meaning they have their they're in a job where that's their main focus, and then there are others who have it as part of their focus, or they want to do this. It's something that's been part of it, and someone told them that they could. This was a profession, and nobody knew. And that's not much different than when I first got into it, because when I moved here from Dayton, Ohio, in 1978, I had done events, but I had not. I had not had a formal title as meeting professional, and I discovered MPI and other organizations, and I think that one of the misconceptions is that anybody can do this, and it is a very tough job. And you probably heard this too, that when people say about meeting planners, well, anybody could do it. It's not brain surgery or rocket science. To me, it's far more difficult. I look at my friends and colleagues who do meetings for 35,000 people. So they're responsible for those people from the time they leave home until the time they get safely back and the whole time they're at the meeting. And I think that professionals in the industry have an obligation to help those who are newer, either, and not just young, because it's not just people who are young who are going into this. It's anybody who's new at this profession, whether they're in sales or services or as meeting planners, that we all help each other learn. And to me, that's is part of the focus of your show. It's really the whole leadership piece, and that we have that obligation to be leaders not only in the work that we do, but in the relationships that we strike and that in the work that we bring to our everyday lives.
Well, you know, you touched on something, because there are a lot of people that enter this industry totally oblivious. And I've heard people say, well, I'm a meeting planner. Or I've heard some other people say, well, I'm an event planner. And there's a distinct difference between
there isn't. And here's where the problem comes for those of us in the industry, is that we're called by a lot of different terms. And, in fact, some of us do meetings that have events as part of them, and let me distinguish it, because to me meetings are generally educational. They have components where people are sitting in sessions and either listening, participating, learning about a particular topic. To me, an event is what often the industry calls a special event. So it could be, let's say, a fundraising dinner or an awards ceremony during a meeting. So I think the tough part is that we don't in the industry use language consistently. And when MPI changed its name from Meeting Planners International to Meeting Professionals International, we all began calling ourselves meeting professionals. So I think that the reason I like that is that that includes everybody. That includes people in sales and convention services, the people who work in destination management companies, And for those who are listening to this and who don't know our industry at all, those are all the different components that put together a successful meeting. We all have to work together in different ways in order to ensure that the pieces are going to come together, that we're communicating well, and that nothing is left to chance.
You know, we just touched on the fact that a lot of different people come from different walks of life. Sometimes they stumble upon the industry, and some of them start in a specific area and then end up doing something totally different. You know, you have an interesting background. What would people be surprised about your background?
Probably most of it. What's interesting is that before I moved to D.C., I worked for an art museum and did events for them. So we go back to the special events. So there were citywide events that involved the different galleries, and we had all kinds of interesting people and artists, performing artists and visual artists in the galleries, and so I did that. And I also did volunteer work with public television with their on-air auctions. So all of that was... all of that to me was part of what we do as a professional planner. It was getting my feet wet. And a lot of people come in to this from the volunteer sector where they have been. In fact, somebody in the class this past weekend was a volunteer for an organization. She's got children. She wants to figure out what she wants to do when they leave home. And she's done a lot of fundraising events in her home and in other places. But back to what people would be surprised about, I think they'd be surprised about, somebody was the other day, about how old I am. But I'm not doing that on air. So the other is that I didn't.
Why not?
Didn't
Wait a minute. Hold on. I just told everybody how old I was. I'm just kidding.
It's okay. I'm about to have a major
kidding.
Birthday. But the thing is, I also don't have a college degree, and I think most people are very surprised about that. Mainly because I'm very well read. I feel it my obligation to the clients I work with, to the industry, to keep up on a lot of different things in the news, because everything impacts meetings and events. And so if I don't do that, it wouldn't matter if I had a PhD. If I'm still not keeping up on what's going on, then I think that I'm not doing my job. And I feel that way strongly about anybody who's in this industry, that it's critical that we pay attention to the news. I mean, certainly I would be surprised that anybody listening is not aware of the travel restrictions that our new president has placed on a number of people. And so we're seeing the impact of that. The figures are interesting. They're showing that international travel is dropping to the United States. And so that's going to impact, certainly it's going to impact medical meetings, engineering meetings, any research meetings. And so I have to be aware of that. I have to talk to clients about what is the impact going to be on your meeting if people can't get here. So I think the back to the question of what would they be surprised about, I think it's mainly that I am not a multi-degreed person. I'm a high school graduate with a year and a half of college, and that I am just simply well-read.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that you're very, very well-read, and you know, education is a lifelong process. It's not something that we go to elementary school and high school and college and get a master's degree or a doctoral degree, because even doctors have to do recertification.
Absolutely.
You know, one of the things that you are actively involved with and have been involved with for a long, long time, as you just mentioned, is educating other people and in our profession so that they become professionals and it becomes more of a vocation than just a job. How do people get access to that kind of information, those kinds of opportunities? And, you know, talk a little bit about your involvement with ASA and PCMA, because I think people really need to understand how intricately involved in shaping those organizations you've been.
Well, here's what's interesting. So, you know, I think that people believe that you can be in a number of professions without, I don't want to say working very hard, because that's not fair, but without going on and getting additional education. And I look at, Dalton, from the time you and I got into this industry to now, it's so much easier to get anything you need. I mean, we did not have the internet back then. And so that any research we did had to be done in a very different way. Now, there are I'm very proud of this, the very first industry listserv. It was called the MIM List, and this was in 1999, that long ago. So now there are so many different groups on Facebook, on LinkedIn, and elsewhere. And so there's that. Then there's the ability to be involved in MPI and PCMA and ASAE and a whole other alphabet soup. I would suggest that people go to conventionindustry.org, which is the umbrella group for the hospitality industry, and look at the members. Look who the members are and see what might fit for where you want to be or where you want to grow in this industry to see where the education is. Everybody has meetings, obviously, and they also have journals, and they have online discussion groups. And so I think that what we each now do is have the ability to help others learn the way that we did it, which was the face-to-face, which we still do. But this is on an as-needed basis. And I think that I'm finding that there are more people now willing to share their knowledge and help others find the resources that they need. My involvement in a lot of the industry alphabet soup is simply because I don't say no well. And when people said to me, you know, would you be on a committee? Would you like to be involved? Would you like to be part of this organization? And then, to me, there's no point in just joining something. It's really being involved. There are a number of things I'm very proud of. One is that with ASAE, I chaired the ethics committee, and during my tenure serving on the committee, and then as chair, we helped rewrite the ethics statement for the entire association, and that's to me a big deal. And so I think that as I look at what I've contributed, and I've been very fortunate to have those opportunities and to take them as they're offered. And then it's also the ability to do something. It's to give back. I believe strongly that if you're going to be in a profession and you're going to get something from it, whether it's a job or work as a consultant or just knowledge to help you do what you do, that we have an obligation to give back to others who are learning.
You know, well, I can testify, gentlemen and ladies, she gives back a lot. I mean, I was kidding her before we went on the air about just the information, doing the research for this interview. You know, Joan has been so involved with these organizations that she's talked about. I mean, PCMA and ASAE and meetings and exhibits, committees, all kinds of things. You also have a blog that you produce on a weekly basis?
Well, I blog, not always weekly, but it's every periodic. But it's for Meetings Today, which is an industry publication, and I have a newsletter with them called Friday with Joan. So if you go to meetingstoday.com, you can subscribe to the newsletter. And the newsletter is the first Friday of the month, and then in between I do blog. I try to make it both what I call the six tips kind of blog, where I'm giving people tips on how to do better contracts, how to better site selection, also to get into some meatier issues. I've got one coming up that's going to talk about generational issues and marketing to generations and how we really can all get along better. And part of that is based on a session that I'll be doing at a show called Exhibitor Live in Las Vegas in March that I did last year, and it was very well received. And what I loved about it was that people of different generations finally started talking to each other instead of just disregarding the other. So I was very grateful for that. So, yeah, I blog and I post on social media. I tweet both under my name, so at Joan Eisenstadt, but also at Meetings Today, so that there are I want to educate every day. I want people to learn every day so that they have that opportunity.
Awesome. Now, here's a question. You just kind of touched on something. Working with millennials and intergenerational, if you had your way, how do you see the meetings industry changing as we move into the next cycle?
Oh, that's a tough question, and here's why. What's sad for me is I don't see it changing enough. I look at what a lot of us have tried to do over so many years, and what I see is that meetings still pretty much look the same as they always have. I think that with millennials and Gen Z, that we're going to have to make changes. Hotels certainly have made changes in how they are designed and the furniture they use. And if they're doing that, then the millennials and Gen Z are not, and the next generation, are not going to come to our meetings if they're the same old people sitting in chairs listening to lectures. I admire so much the next generations because they are far more inclusive than I think our generations were. I think that they've been brought up to know other people. They have they've worked very hard, and I think that the rap that they get about the thing that I hear most is, well, they don't have our work ethic. Well, they have a really good work ethic. When we talk about work-life balance, they really do work-life balance. So to me, what they will bring to not only our industry but to every industry is a sense that much more can be accomplished if we do if we balance what we're doing. And I love their insights. I mean, this is, you know, as a baby boomer, we were the queens and kings, right, of for years, and everybody looked to us because we were the largest generation. Well, we're not anymore. And a lot of people are retiring. And so what I'm hoping is that our industry will the meetings industry and hospitality will change in more than just changing the furniture in the lobbies of hotels, and will really look at how service is delivered. And by that, it's not just robots, right? Everybody thinks that if we have robots in hotels, it'll be great, which I see as awful. So a sidebar to that is that I worry about the jobs for the future and for the next generations. If we go to more technology and we believe that service can be done by an inanimate object. So I have some concerns about it. That was a tangent, sorry, but that's how my brain works.
Oh, no. But it's a very important, if I can say, tangent, because, you know, as we evolve, you know, we are in what we've called for years the people business.
Yes.
And if we start servicing people with machines, we lose that sense of creativity. We lose that sense of interpersonal interaction. And when we talk about the next generation, one of the things that they also get a lot of heat about is the fact that many of them lack the interpersonal skills.
And you know what? Because of technology, and I don't think that's true. I mean, my experience has not been that, and I'm someone I've long before it was called social media, like in around 1992, I got on the internet and I was in chat rooms on AOL for those who remember reading about them, and that was social media. And so what I found, and what I found with the old MIM list, within moments of people joining anything with technology, is that they want to meet face-to-face. And I'm seeing that with gamers. You know, they have these huge gaming conventions, and they may all be on their computers once they get there, but they're face-to-face. And so I think that I think that people who are of the X and X generation, boomer generation, say that about the next generations, the younger generations, that they don't have interpersonal skills because they're not interacting with them. They're not having conversation. There's a cool company I read about called, it's JUV Consulting, and I read about them in Business Week, and I got it was started by three high school students. I was so excited that I contacted them. I wanted to learn more about them. They are fascinating, and to me, they are representative of that generation in terms of their interests and where they want to take the world. And God knows right now we need them.
Oh, yes, we do. We need all the positive influence and energy that we can get right now.
Right.
So for those of us who care about the future, how do we use our skills in the meeting planning side and events planning to create that sense of unity and movement to the next level?
I think it's a really good question, and it's a tough question. I think that we have to remember exactly what you said, and that is we're in the people business, that we're in a relationship business, that the reason people come to meetings to meet face-to-face is that they want that personal interaction. They want to make those connections that they can carry forward. I think we, who are in the industry, have to remember that, and so that when we're looking at the design of a meeting, we have to make sure that it's set up so that people have opportunities to interact, both in formal sessions, meaning breakout sessions or general sessions, but also informally in places to gather. And I think that we forget that component. We tend to overschedule. I think that people who are in the hotel industry are not being as consultative as they possibly could, and that they too could help do that. I'm doing a session for CSPI, which are the salespeople, and we're going to talk about how they can consult better to groups and help them understand how to make meetings more suitable to the audiences that are coming to their facilities. So we have that opportunity to help people do this if we just take a step back, look around, look at what some of the literature says, look at what research shows about how people interact, and then we create those opportunities.
Amazing. That's amazing. It's so much on target and on point. I just love it. You know, it's amazing. Joan, you have so much information and you share constantly with people. You talk about some of the training sessions that you're doing across the country. How do people get to attend these events that you're speaking at, or how do they get in touch with you so that you can help them through some of their issues and areas of opportunity?
Well, there are two things. One is that there are a number of programs upcoming that they can go to. Exhibitor Live is one. CSPI is another. I have a website. It's simply eisenstadt.com, so it's pretty easy. And it's also finding me on social media. I would say either Twitter or LinkedIn are the best places to find me. It's just my full name, so I'm pretty easy to find. And I'm glad then to connect people to other people because I think that on StrengthsFinders, my number one strength is connectedness. So I'm always glad to help somebody get to others to get the knowledge they need and to make those connections to further their careers and further what they're doing.
Fantastic. Well, you know, it's amazing. 30 minutes goes so fast, and we are almost out of time, but I would be remiss without once again saying thank you so much. You know, ladies and gentlemen, you have to understand something. I'm going to make her blush again. This is a lady who's been sick all day, and her doctor told her to rest. But she got out of her sick bed to spend 30 minutes with us. And I am so appreciative of that I just have to recognize it and say it publicly. Joan, thanks so very, very much, and I hope
you feel
better.
Thank you for doing this. Well, and to me, that's the last thing to say is when you make a promise, you keep got commitment, and I would not have missed this. So thank you for having me on.
My pleasure. You always do, and you always will. Well, thanks again.
Well, thank you.
We're out of time, but as you can see, the excitement with me is still there because I have had the opportunity to reconnect with someone who's very, very near and dear to my heart that I've known for many, many years. And they say that when you meet someone and you make a connection, even though you don't talk to them for maybe years and years, the connection never dulls and the feelings never die. So what I want to say to you this evening is understand where you've been. Remember the lessons. Learn as you go. And as I always leave you with, transform your thinking. You'll transform your world. I'm your host, Velton Shaw. Once again, thanks for joining us. We look forward to seeing you next week. And until then, God bless and good night.